WLIR Garden City. You have been listening to a concert of American Tears recorded live at Ultrasonic Recording Studios. It's 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. I mention that, I guess, because this evening, of all evenings, people are especially time conscious. But coming up very shortly from WLIR's rare tape library, we'll hear Frank Zappa recorded live. We'll hear Zappa's introduction, Pygmy Twilight Variations, saxophone guitar interlude, and Dupree's Paradise.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open up with a dance tune. It's not a very popular dance these days, but we're hoping that because we'll bring it to your attention, that it will gain popularity slowly but surely, even in New Jersey. This dance is the tango. It's a dance of love. It's a dance of raw, unbridled passion, ladies and gentlemen. And we think that that's what America needs a lot more of, is some raw, unbridled passion, a little bit more lust. I think that there should be a freer exchange between persons of all sexes and combinations thereof. Everybody should get their rocks off, ladies and gentlemen. That is my philosophy. And that's why we're going to open our show with a tango. You get the picture? Here we go.
Now, candy store. What you can't make, you can't make $100 a day having working at a candy store. You know what you gotta do? The only way you're gonna make the kind of money you need, you gotta get out on the street. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You gotta get out on the street and make that money, honey. Because if you want this, you want another one? Was that one good enough or you want another one? Wait a minute now. You know you want it. Did I give you too much? You're not gonna croak on me now. Don't you croak on me. That's good stuff. Don't you croak on me.
If she doesn't go out on the street, the only other way that you'll be able to support a habit like that is to go into show business.
All right. Wait a minute.
I think she is going to go into show business. I think that some nice gentleman is going to give her a singing lesson right here on stage.
come on here, let me hear your voice.
This is Coffee, ladies and gentlemen.
Howdy! What's happening?
Don't worry about a thing, I got plenty of reds, plenty of whites, plenty of blacks, plenty of coke, and all you need, you'll be all day long.
I've been on the street since I can remember.
Money first.
Sell it like it belongs to a goddamn.
this is the story of Dupree's Paradise Lounge on Avalon Boulevard
in Watts.
Round about 4:30, all of the derelicts in the neighborhood line up and pass out along the outside of the green stucco wall with the cheesy little posters on it. Some of them don't pass out completely. They just sort of lay there against the wall with their tongues lolling listlessly from side to side. A little bit of slobber dribbling out the corner. You know the type, I'm sure. You have them here in New York, the kind of guys, the sort of a wonderful person that comes up to your cab and says, "Wash your window for 25 cents. The door has just swang open. Of old beer, stale dirt, red and white checkered tablecloths, bartender breath, waitress sweat, and all the things that make Sunday morning entertainment great come reeking through the doorway as the winos and the beeros and the whiskeyos and the other funny people go creeping into Dupree's Paradise. And soon, it's time for the musicians to show up. Tenor sax players. Alto sax players. Soprano sax players. Trombone players. Trumpet players. Bass players. Tambourine players. Drummers. And there's always a few keyboard players who want to sit in. Because Dupree's Paradise is featuring tonight Bobby Turner at the organ in his houndstooth check jacket. That's just a weaselly little bit too tight and too short for him, but he got it on sale. At the Hammond organ, along with, I forget what's his name, who is his regular drummer. And they got a little bandstand about this big, and everybody wants to sit in all at once. Tonight, we're fortunate, this morning, we're fortunate to have six bass players who all want to sit in. And we're going to let them, because what's the difference? Ain't it funky now? Good God, feet on fire. All the horn players are going to get up there and try and out-honk each other. In one massive avant-garde ego trip after another as they try and figure out the chord changes to Bye Bye Blackbird. But the bartender, being the wise gentleman that he is, under careful instruction and tutelage from the club owner himself, comes over and says, "All right, you schmucks, play some blues or these people won't drink." And so they get funky again one more time. But as soon as the bartender turns around, it's back to the honking and squealing again. In the distance, a gentleman in a very suave sort of sport coat comes in. Can you guess who he is? He's a narc. Because he knows that once you drink, drink and drink, puke and drink, stumble and park and drink and stew, that the next logical step is the use of drugs. And of course he's right, because all of those health education films you saw in high school were absolutely correct. Marijuana does lead to heroin usage. Of course it does. Hey, howdy snackheads, nodding out there. And of course, if the marijuana does not lead to heroin usage, it's liable to lead to quaalude usage. And on the other hand, if it doesn't lead to quaalude usage, it'll lead to speed usage. Hey! Just think of all the fantastic drugs that could go on the charts just the same way Coke did, just the same way Speed did, just the same way Quaaludes did. And if you were in England right now, it'd be Mandy's, wouldn't it, ladies and gentlemen? There are plenty of other interesting drugs that you could get into. Clorox. For some of you who are really in for a, how about one of those cleansers with the little green dots in it? Try this recipe. Pour yourself a spoonful of Comet. Cook it down to a smoldering black fudge. Dilute with 3 parts mercurochrome. Allow to harden on a cookie sheet. Take the gummy residue and roll it into a small tube. And stuff it up your... First Sydney appearance, maybe a second Sydney appearance. We don't know what he does in his spare time. Bring the band on, Nami Hammy Boys. Father Vivian Oblivion, resplendent in his frock, was whipping up the batter for the pancakes of his flock. He was looking rather bleary. He forgot to watch the clock because the night before, behind the door, a leprechaun had stroked his smock. And that set him off in such a frenzy. He sang lock around the crop. And it topped it off with a woo woo woo. And it topped it off with a woo woo. And it topped it off with a woo woo. As he stumbled on his crop. Was delighted when it stiffened and it ripped right through his sock. Oh, St. Alfonso would be proud of me, he shouted down the block. And as soon as he did that, a crowd of people gathered around. All the faithful came right up to him. They wanted to look at the pink things sticking out from the bottom of his tasteful, discreet, black nylon, man of the cloth type stocking. And there it was, and here it was, and he went, hey, hey. And they all went, oh. And he calmed them with a gesture that he learned at an extension course in divinity school. He gave them one of these. And then he went. Gave him a few Dominus Robiscums, they shut right up, sat right there, very still. And then he looked them all in the eye, every last one of them. He gazed at every one of them, and he looked them all in the eye. And he turned to them, each and every one, each in his own words, each in his own way. And he turned to him and he said,
I was an Eskimo. Frozen wind began to blow.
Under my boots,
and around my toes.
Frost that bit the ground below.
Was 100 degrees below zero.
And my mama cried, Nanu, 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 no, no.
Save your money, don't go to the show. And I turned around and I said, ho, ho. And the northern lights commenced to glow. And she looked at me with a tear in her eye and she said, watch out where the huskies go and don't you eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the huskies go and don't you eat that yellow snow. Right about that time, people, a fur trapper who was strictly from commercial had the unmitigated audacity to jump up from behind my igloo. And he started in the whipping on my favorite baby seal. With a lead-filled snowshoe, I said,
with a lead-filled
snowshoe, peekaboo, with a lead. You know, that got me just about as evil as an Eskimo boy can be. I'm evil as an Eskimo boy can be. So I reached down with my patented Nanook of the North whale blubber mitten. And I scooped down and I reached down and I bent down and I gathered up a generous mitten full of the deadly
yellow snow.
The deadly yellow snow from right there where the huskies go. And then, in a fit of anger, I pounced. And I pounced again. I jumped up and down on the chest of the
I injured the fur trapper.
And then I took my mitten with the deadly yellow snow crystals in it and I proceeded to rub it all into his beady little eyes with a vigorous circular motion hitherto unknown to Sydney but destined to take the place of the mud shark in your mythology. Here it is. Hey! Really cheap, isn't it? God damn, that's cheap. That's so cheap, we're gonna do it again. That's enough. Okay. Well, by that time, the extract of the northern dog had induced in the fur trapper a terrible case of temporary snow blindness. And he turned around and he said,
I can't see.
I can't see. can't see.
I can see temporarily.
Oh, what if there's something good on TV?
Temporarily.
But I can't see.
I can't see temporarily.
He took a dog do snow cone and stuffed it in my right eye. And he took a dog do snow cone and stuffed it in my other eye. And the husky wee wee, I mean the doggy wee wee, has blinded me temporarily. And oh Lord, I can't see. Well, here we have a deflected fur trapper, folks, wandering around in the middle of the desolate northern wasteland. Can't tell where he's going. He wants to get home in time to watch something good on TV. Well, he doesn't know it, but he's got a lot of time. But maybe there's something that he likes. He has to fix up his eyes before he can watch the television, so scratches underneath of his parka, tries to figure out what he's gonna do, and remembers an ancient Eskimo legend where it is written on the little things that they write it on, whatever they are, that if anything bad ever happens to your eyes as the result of physical combat with anybody named Nanook, and if, therefore, he rubs some dog doo crystals in your eye and you have problems, it actually says this, folks, that the only way that you can fix it up is you gotta go trudging across the tundra, mile after mile, all the way down to the Columbia River Delta. It's really funky down there, I'm telling you. And he's gotta go down to find the parish of St. Alfonso. St. Alfonso is the patron saint of the smelt fishermen of Portuguese extraction. And he's got to bust into the pantry at St. Alfonso's parish, and he's got to locate a mysterious elixir disguised as a box of margarine. And his instructions are to rub it on his deflected eyes until some sort of miraculous cure will take place. In the next episode, we follow the fur trapper as he trudges across the tundra, direct to St. Alfonso's parish. And it goes something like this.
Hoopla!
Well, here we are
at St. Alfonso's pancake breakfast,
where I stole the margarine and wheedled on the bingo cards in lieu of the latrine.
I saw a handsome Paris lady
make her entrance like a queen. Why, she was totally chenille and her old man was a marine. As she abused the sausage patty, why don't you treat me mean?
Hurt me. Hurt me.
Where I stole a world. Where I stole a world. Where I stole a world. Woo-woo-woo.
The margarine. Yeah, I made it down to St. Alfonso's parish, I did. Made it into the pantry down there. I finally discovered what I was looking for. I groped my way past the peas, and I groped my way past the asparagus, and I groped my way past the cauliflower. Groped my way, and I groped my way. And I don't mind groping my way. And I groped my way, and I found the margarine. And there it was. There's a little left over from the pancake breakfast. I reached in and pulled out a lump of the stuff. And then I rubbed it on my right hand eye. And I took it and I rubbed it on my left hand eye. Started feeling a little bit better, and I contemplated on the mystery and the majesty of the margarine. I said to myself, the M of margarine.
must, under these circumstances, symbolize
marsupial.
And the egg, under these circumstances, must symbolize the constellation of Andromeda. And the R, under these circumstances, must constitute... ridiculous, which is what these circumstances actually are. And then there's a hyphen, M-A-R. Don't lose the continuity, folks. There's a M-A-R hyphen. And as I said last night, and I'll say it again because I liked it, the first hyphen in margarine could be used for erotic gratification by a very desperate stenographer. M-A-R hyphen J. J. J is for Jesus, and we all know he loves you. Well, some of you people will go for that, and some of you won't. What's the difference? So I throw it in. Then there's a U. That U is for everybody who believes what the J stood for. And also, we have a subordinate you for the rest of you who go, hey. And then there's an H, which stands for, or used to, about 2 years ago, stand for homunculus. And then there's another hyphen, M-A-R hyphen, J-U-H hyphen. The second hyphen tonight, ladies and gentlemen, could be used. Could be used. It could be used on you if you bent right over. And then, if you were very short, of course, and sensitive, M-A-R hyphen J-U-H hyphen R, there's another R. This R will stand for Rebus, which is a puzzle with pictures in it. Then there's an E, it's a very long, obnoxious E to the nth degree. And then there's an N, which is the N of the E with the nth degree, and then there's a tiny weenie dwindling off little E on the end of the thing. By the time I'd finished spelling margarine correctly, including two hyphens, my eyes felt a lot better and I was ready for the next part of the song.
Part two of the Frank Zappa Radio Show on WLIR-FM 92.7 in stereo. Frank Zappa.
Just completed a genuine bebop-influenced tango trombone solo. But that's not all he can do because, well, how shall I say this? He's so far out, ladies and gentlemen. He's been to college and everything, and because of this, he is an expert in the graceful art of bebop tango dancing. Now, he has developed a special dance routine which he will perform for you with the assistance of Napoleon. They're going to work this out. Give them your undivided attention. Take it away.
This is me. Even though you think it doesn't sound like that.
Well, it sort of sounds like bebop, you know. Don't let them stop you, George. Keep telling them about the bebop.
That's right, honey.
George.
We.
Do you understand that you're in Canada now? You realize that, don't you? Do you realize that it is within the realm of possibility that bebop itself as a concept is too evolved for the Canadian audience? Because from where I stand, I see that this audience is extremely reserved. I know that you must be under a great deal of pressure in an institution of higher learning. We've experimented with bebop in such advanced places as Paterson, New Jersey, Detroit, Michigan, Waterbury, Connecticut, and now at last, the bebop tango has come to Waterloo, wherever it is. Just to give you a brief idea of what took place at these other areas,
we selected a likely suspect from the audience, somebody who appeared to be evolved to the point where they could actually take part in our bebop tango contest. I mean, I hate to ask for volunteers, but is that a volunteer or is that a volunteer? Hey, you are a volunteer. How about a succulent young lady to assist him in the bebop tango routine? Is there one woman among you who is evolved enough to dance with, hey, a second volunteer? Hey. All right, ladies and gentlemen, be real quiet. I want to find out what their names are. What is your name, sir? All I can hear three things. I hear Don, it's either Marginal, Marshmallow, or Markenum. What is it? Marginal? Hey. No, he's got to do it right there where you can really see him and experience his aura. And young lady, what is your name? Linda? Domin? Norman? Dormer? That's it. Have a little beer, honey. Okay. Linda and Don, was that it? Don. John. John. It's John and Linda, ladies and gentlemen. All right, now here's the deal, John and or Linda. Or in tandem, or any combinations thereof which appeal to your fancy. Now, George is going to sing a genuine bebop vocal lick, and all you have to do is move your body systematically to the rhythm that he will project to you. You communicate, you link your mind with his mind, you link your body with his notes. The rhythmic figures will overcome you. You are going to sleep. You are going to sleep. Okay, now here's a quick sample. George is going to give you a little number like this. I'll show you how to dance to it. You ready? Try it one time. Get the picture? It's a sort of a spastic, sort of a weird, sort of a twisted, sort of a perverted, sort of obsessed, sort of twitching, sort of bebop, sort of tango dance that you can do. Everybody, get the picture? Here we go. George, make them dance. No, you're too reserved. You're too reserved. You have to let yourself go. Do you understand? Wait, follow me one time. Make me dance, George. Now, just, I don't know how to get this across to you, but you have to loosen yourself up. You have to let yourself go. Just forget you're in Canada just for a moment. Okay, you ready? Start them off easy with a little groove. There. Okay. Now, come on, twitch. No, look, here's where you're making your mistake. You're trying to stay on the beat like this. Don't listen to that beat over there. Listen to the one that goes. I still think you're too reserved. You think that, is it possible that you could all stand up for a minute and just twitch around a bit? It couldn't hurt ya. Okay. All right, sweep the audience with the spotlights. Make it look like there's something really going on in this gymnasium. This is the world's championship bebop twitch-a-thon. And I want to see every single one of you highly evolved Canadians out there twitching your brains out. Give it to him, George. But you're just standing there. Are you tired? Oh, well. Sit down. It's okay. Just sit down and calm yourselves, really. No. Really? Okay, really. It's all right. Just, it's all right. really. I mean, sit down. I mean, please, ladies and gentlemen, please just sit down. You'll be able to see better, and they'll be able to see better. Just sit down. I'll tell you, there is no way in the world that you people are going to be able to dance to bebop. It's just too hard for you. Your vibes and your aura have projected themselves into a realm of complete relaxation. That person with his arm up in the air, that person up there on the top knows what I'm talking about. That person up there at the top, give that man a chance to bebop one more time. That guy, twitch it. That's it. Now don't fall down. Just sit back. This was not meant to injure anyone.
WLIR-FM and 92.7 in stereo. On the second half of the Frank Zappa radio show, we heard Bebop Tango Dance Contest recorded at the University of Waterloo, Jim, in Waterloo, Iowa, and Tango Variations recorded at the Horden Pavilion at Sydney, Australia. It's 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. We're W.